step-by-step instructions. Breathe in again.
Good, because the guy was going to die over here. All during the, that would be a great podcast. All during, you know, you can breathe again. I want to look at David. Well, this thing is in my leg here. Okay, never mind. I'm okay.
Hey everyone, Pastor David here with Pastor Bob Wilk and Pastor Liz Jones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't have much time left. We're talking about the last days, the end times. We decided to call this Apocalypse Now because it's a great movie. And it actually applies to this a lot.
Right now.
Because actually the book of Revelation is, in Greek, it's Apocalypse.
Oh, is it?
So it's, that was a cool fact that I learned and that I shared with our group. No, Pastor Liz wanted to call it this. And it's true. Apocalypse means revelation.
So when you're talking about the last days, are you talking about like a few days ago?
Yeah, could
yeah,
be.
The last few days.
Last few days. I thought we were.
That's what this podcast is about. We're
going to talk about the last few days. Yeah, because the last few days, could. I have been sinned against, and I want to go on record.
Oh my God!
I want people to know.
You were supposed to forgive before we started this.
I haven't forgiven yet.
Let's take care of it now.
All right. Okay, Pastor David.
What is it? Confrontation? Right,
Pastor David's wife, formerly my daughter, she made meatballs and fried them. The way I like them.
Yeah.
And he ate them all.
I ate one meatball.
The only good one. Okay. That wasn't in sauce yet. Well, so we should get this. Look, if we're going to talk about something as serious as the apocalypse, we need to clear this. You need to promise with all these people that you will never do that to me again.
I don't know.
Don't promise.
Don't
do it.
All right.
Well,
I need to ask counsel of my spiritual advisor, Pastor Liz.
Pastor Liz.
See if I should forgive. Should I forgive him on this? Or, he should forgive me, right?
He should forgive you.
You have to forgive me. You're a Christian.
I do?
Yeah.
Jesus is coming.
The apocalypse is closer than I think.
I'm not going to apologize ever, but you still have to forgive me.
Nice.
Okay, nice. If I would have known how much it would have hurt you, I would have saved you. 1/10 of that meatball.
I know you wouldn't have saved any. Come on, be truthful. Probably, well, anyway,
probably
I forgive
not.
You
but
some.
I would have wanted.
Get that out.
I would have wanted to.
I think it's cleared out of the system a little bit.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to come
did
back.
You forgive?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh. Okay.
I would have saved you 1/7.
Anybody listening that likes meatballs understands why I am not forgiving.
Okay.
Well,
they'll give him license to just continue on mm-hmm. to do this.
Yeah, why not? The evil people will keep going from bad to worse in the latter days.
Oh, yes.
Okay, look at that
hardening
segue.
Hardening their hearts and
you
not
didn't
forgiving.
Think I could do it, but I did.
I know, not loving, not forgiving.
Meatballs can be transitioned to the end times.
Pretty good at transitions.
Now, what are the end times? All right,
listen.
So we were not talking about the latter days. We're not talking about the most recent sin that Pastor Bob suffered from me.
Right.
We're talking about what are the end times, and what would you think, Liz? Like, what are these end times?
I think they're the end of the times.
What times?
Do you want to talk about meatballs some more? <Is that it? laughs>
A lot of people are probably watching, like, "Cool, I'm finally gonna understand what they believe about the end times." And we're just talking
just
about
meatballs.
We believe it's gonna be cloudy with a chance of meatballs. And God will be raining hail and meatballs on the.
I love that I hijacked this whole. This is a good podcast up to then.
Okay. We're used to it by now, so we can keep going.
We can keep going
with it.
All right.
So, what are the end times? When do they start? How about that? When do the end times start?
Well, are we talking about the end times or are we talking about the last days?
Yes.
Okay, so I look at those significantly different because I believe that we were in the last days ever since Jesus left.
Absolutely.
But I believe the end times are the end of those last days.
The end of the times. That's what I said.
I'm interpreting it for people, okay? There's some people that mix it all up. Okay, so yes. So what were you questioning me about?
What are these times? Like, what are the characteristics of these times?
Oh,
the last days.
All,
let's just talk about the last days.
All the very last.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think in the last days, there's going to be a lot of interesting things. But I would say the thing that concerns me the most is people's hearts growing cold toward God. Mm. Like maybe widespread cold toward God. Mm-hmm. And that's that to me, that's like rough. That's, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those that's like
Matthew 24.
Yeah. Prophecy. Just a little, yeah, a little Matthew 24 and some yeah. other thing. But, to me, that should like concern people.
Yeah.
You know, especially people of faith, like, wow, is my heart growing cold or cooling? And, I think, because I actually believe that's the beginning of when people start to really fall away. And, yeah. you know, the other things that happen and, you know, just the denying of the faith and all that. I think that's, it's what opens the door is your heart growing cool.
Right.
And that's a pretty serious thing. Now we went from meatballs to a really serious thing like that.
Yeah.
But it's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're going to talk about the end times or just the last days, we have to talk about that.
Yeah.
That's a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Liz? Like, what are the end times in your view? Is there a difference or between the last days and the end times? Or,
yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm just gonna say I am not one who loves to study eschatology and get into like what does this mean in this term and this mm-hmm. blah blah blah. Because I'm more like, how are we living now and where is that pointing? Which is why I know we're gonna discuss yeah. some of that. But end times and last days being terms that are biblical terms mm-hmm. to denote periods of time before the return of Christ mm-hmm. that the Lord, you know, the Lord tells us things will begin to happen and that there's things in the world, there's things in the church, mm-hmm. there's things with individuals like you're mentioning that are signs of those times. And you know, I think if Jesus mentioned it, it's probably something important mm-hmm. for us to pay attention to.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously when we're talking about the last days, we're not talking about specific days, it's periods of time, mm-hmm. God's times that are sometimes very unknowable of how long exactly that is, but we know that they are leading to the end and to the return of Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, in the Old Testament, they're kind of interchangeable, the latter days in that day.
Oh yeah.
That, you know, the day of the Lord, the mm-hmm. day of Christ,
right.
You go into the New Testament, it becomes day of Christ mm-hmm. and you have, you know, the latter days, the last days in the New Testament. But really, yeah, it's this idea of the consummation of the ages, mm-hmm. like it says in Hebrews. And we should be living in that mindset that mm-hmm. you know, we're living for the kingdom of God, not for this world. Because this world, you know, the true light's already shining. This world's being cleared away. It's the last hour. Like John said, it's even the last hour, not the last days. And that was written 2,000 years ago. So I think there's an urgency about it. I think sometimes you can get into a mistake where you just say, well, the end times are so far in the future, mm-hmm. I'm not going to think about it. Or, oh man, everything is the end times. Everything means it's going to end like tomorrow because this country invaded this country or mm-hmm. this technology was invented or mm-hmm. what, you know, now we can put, I'm not going to say that anyway, but yeah, there's certain things that you would all know what yes. I was about to say,
right.
But everything doesn't have to be the world's ending tomorrow, but there's this, this idea that Christ is going to be revealed and that's going to be a real physical, visible mm-hmm. reality. So why is our view of the end times important? I mean, Liz kind of got into it about how it affects our day-to-day life. How do you think it's important, Pastor Bob, you know, maybe what a Christian believes about the end times? Like, how would it be important?
I believe it's important because it's very personal. And I believe that, you know, we're talking about a specific time maybe in history. I think we want to relegate it to that. And that's why when people go off, like I happen to know it's, you know, Tuesday in April, you know, that's the end yeah. of it. But, yeah. you know, we argue about that next kind year? Of stuff. Yeah, it's okay. always next year.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just so you know. <Got it. laughs> But the reality is that if we don't live our lives as though we're in the last days, we will let our lives drift. We won't be focused. We won't have purpose in our life. And like I said earlier, we'll cool toward the Lord because he wants us to be hot. And I think also because until the actual end times occur, everybody who's on the planet is going to experience death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the end times, I believe there's a whole different thing that happens there. But up till then, everyone's going to experience death. So your last days might be upon you before you know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So if you don't live like you're in your last days, then you just everything is put it off to tomorrow, put it off to later. And I think that's a dangerous place to be in our walk with him. But I mean, he wants more fervency from us, not just like, you know, moseying around like, oh, I hope that, oh, that'll work out. Oh, whatever. You know, that's, he was so purposeful when he demonstrated to us how we were supposed to be. And that was day to day, always on mission.
Yeah.
And so we, so one of the things about the idea of the last days is what it's supposed to inspire us to do and be now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. How about you, Liz? How do you see it affecting our daily life?
I mean, I think about the principles of the doctrine of Christ, where it starts with, you know, faith toward God and repentance. It starts like he starts at the very beginning, but one of the foundational principles of our Christian walk is eternal judgment.
Yeah.
Knowing that there will be an end. And the reason that's part of our foundation is because it helps us determine how to build now.
That's good.
And so I think that if the Lord, if he lays out like, this is something that you should keep in mind from the beginning, that there is an end. It does help you to build well, to use, to steward your life well, to steward resources well, to always have, I believe we must live with an eternal perspective. And I think sometimes we can get really short-sighted and caught up in life now. And then we really get off. We begin to build poorly. We begin to build with wrong materials or in the wrong direction because we lost sight of the end from the beginning. If that makes sense.
Totally. Because you could be building, you know, your house on the sand. You could be building your kingdom on a world that's passing away. If you don't understand the end times, you don't understand that it's passing away, and that you're going to stand before the throne and everyone's going to stand before the throne. You might completely direct your resources in the wrong way.
Well, you can also allocate those resources for some time in the future and not, like the word tells us, to number our days, to understand the days we're in, to understand the times.
Yeah.
And not, you know, like I said, I think when we start talking about, you know, the apocalypse and the last days and the end times, you know, people, like I said, they get so focused on, you know, they want to be right about the specific time, you know, and Jesus is like, hey, you know, when he was here, man, he's like, that's reserved for the Father. And, you know, that's the way it's going to be. But we can get so caught up and minimize, I would say, what the understanding of the last days is supposed to bring to our souls, because we, like I said, we don't number our days. We just think, oh, well, and you know, yes, there's an eternity ahead of us, but we have a time here and now. And what's happening here and now may well determine what your eternity looks like.
Yeah. Now's your only time you can suffer for Christ and for the gospel. Now's the only time you can bring someone to faith in Jesus, you know? We have a fleeting time for certain pursuits. But yeah, I think your view of the end times, you know, it is important, because let's say somebody thought, by the way, they were going to escape all that suffering and Jesus is going to just take them out, you know, which isn't really a biblical teaching. If you read Matthew 24 and you read everything in context, they're not going to prepare for suffering. They're not actually going to care as much about what's going to happen to the people around them, because they're not going to be there for it. You know, maybe they do. Maybe there's a way that they're going to provide for that. But I think that would definitely affect you. I also think if you just think there's no hope for the world and Jesus is going to have to just kill everybody and the gospel won't advance at all, that's also going to really color how you're going to see society and education and the people around you. So that goes kind of to my next question, is like, should we be pessimistic about the end days or are optimistic? And it's more of a scriptural question too, because obviously we want to be optimistic, but there's a lot that's pessimistic in the scripture, but maybe there's some optimistic stuff too. So like, how do we hold this stuff together? Like what should we be thinking when we're thinking about the last days? Can I make it more clear? Like, should it be a bummer or should it actually be like exciting? Some of it is a bummer, honestly.
I think God always has an optimistic view. He's never. He does. Listen, I mean, and he tells us, like, he doesn't pull any punches. He's like, this is what's going to happen. But in the middle of that, you know, it's like, when gross darkness comes, like, there's light that will shine, and there are people who will overcome, and there are people who will endure, and there are people who will bring the kingdom of God, even in the middle of darkness and, you know, gross darkness over the earth.
Dark darkness.
And so, yeah. And this subject is interesting to me because I've, you know, growing up in church, it's like that I feel like I've experienced all the conversations about like, oh, well, why should we even be in the community? Because mm-hmm. God tells us it's all going to get really bad and it's all going to be destroyed. So we're just we're getting off track by trying to redeem something that God has already told us is going to be, you know, evil. Sure. And it's like, so there's like that extreme. And then there's the, I don't know. There's a lot of extremes you can go mm-hmm. to in this subject. There's like people who live social really gospel. Fearful mm-hmm. too of the end times and are like, you know, just like, I'm, you know, this is going to come and I don't know if I can do it. And, you know, like seriously, like I'm telling you, growing up in church, it's been an interesting, experience with this.
I used
this,
to think about that, you know, you're subject. Like, how could I stand up to all the beasts and the locusts and all that?
And then we're like, one person gets the mark and they can go buy everything for us. And the rest of us will be, you know, straws. I'll denounce him, but then I'll repent. Oh. God will know. And, you know, I mean, like,
okay, I'm sure glad I didn't grow up in church.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's been an interesting journey on this subject for me anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just TMI.
You grow up watching those Left Behind movies. You're like, could I be Kurt Cameron? You know, could I be as cool as Kurt Cameron when the Antichrist comes? I don't know.
You're too funny. That is a funny way of looking at it. I have an issue with that. You know, God. Would you say God isn't? He's not mad, or you know, he doesn't get upset about this.
No,
or?
I said he's optimistic.
Oh, he's optimistic. Not all the time.
He has always
ultimately.
There's always hope.
Oh no, he knows the ends, but you know, like the. I regret that I made man. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, that was, and
hope.
By the way, in the end times, it'll be just like that time. It's like, oh.
Days of Noah.
I know he doesn't get down for long. No.
he doesn't have a negative view of the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
He encourages himself in the Lord. He said that. The Lord said to my Lord. No. Anyway, you know, he's talking to each other.
There is a dialogue in the Trinity.
Yes, there is.
Or a trialogue.
Yes. But I believe also that you were asking, is it, you know, is it bad? Is it good? Is it mm-hmm. what the way I look at it, it's just truth. Mm-hmm. And so however form it takes, see, we all want truth that's happy truth, that's mm-hmm. peaceful truth, mm-hmm. that's nice truth. That's all those wonderful things. You guys have heard me.
I don't know if I've ever heard a nice truth.
Nice truth. If you happen to have slipped into doing that truth and believing it, then it sounds nice when you did it. But the reality is truth's truth, mm-hmm. and it will stand regardless of everything around it. And so we try to put into human context, oh, that's a scary thing. That's a good thing. The reality is that it's a thing that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You should first approach it that way before you start getting fearful or happy mm-hmm. about it. Like, oh yeah, I got it together. I've known Jesus, you know, right? I have the Holy Spirit. I'm in. It's like, that could be.
I've never heard anyone say that. I'll say that's one point that I've never
you
heard.
You haven't?
No, have you? People are like, I can't wait for the tribulation.
I'm going to have to start
I'm going to do so good in that. Have you ever heard anyone
say that? I'm going to start saying
that. When I used to believe in pre-tribulation and rapture, I was a little bit a little regretful that I wouldn't be able to see the actual great tribulation.
Well, you'll see it because
I was like,
different
that would
position.
Be That's intense, like to be through that, like go through that and to be, it's not that you want to, but you also are like, hey, you know, maybe the Lord would give me his grace and I could overcome. Yeah. Right. And so I think we have to have that attitude that we're not like, yeah, come on, like do extra bad
Bring
things to me.
Yeah.
We're not masochists. You don't have to be a masochist, but at the same level, we do want to be a witness in the midst of darkness.
Well, the end times are rough times, right? I mean, they're not all, you know, bright lights and glamour, to say the least. I mean, there's, you know, there even, you know, if those times weren't shortened for the elect's sake, it could be rough on them. It is rough on them.
Right.
And people who apparently, according to the Bible, you know, is that people are there during this time, they're going to be wishing they were dead mm-hmm. at some point in time. And I'm like, how bad does that get when you wish you were dead, but you can't die?
Mm. It sounds a lot like today, though.
I was going to say.
So there's a lot. And I mean, so I think you're right. Like, God is pessimistic about some things. Like, he's pessimistic about, like, saving the devil. Some people think, oh, the devil's going to be saved. No, this is real stuff. Some people are like, maybe the devil's going to be saved. Well, no, like, no. And then he's like, the world system, maybe. No, that's, you know, that's going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
But I think overall for the gospel and for his church overcoming, that's what he's enabling. Right. He's not just optimistic about it. He says, I'm going to accomplish that,
right?
By like his intercession and his grace and moving by his Holy Spirit.
Yeah. This is why and I think he's pessimistic at times. She doesn't. She already admitted she doesn't get into eschatology. She's more into ecology, I guess, or something.
But I think pessimism is living your life expecting disappointment. Yeah. And I don't think that's how God lives. Exactly. I don't think how he exists. Yeah. He's already been there. Like, he's already been through all of this. He has no disappointment in his future.
Yeah, that's right.
Darn. You took away from me the only thing I thought I had that was in common with God.
Yeah. I hear you. Hey, so let's go armchair theologian for a second. Okay. Do you guys think we're actually in, like, the last few years right now?
The last few years?
Just the last, because most Christians in history have kind of thought, like, this is probably it. But do you think we are in it right now? And what would that imply?
I'm just going to go on record and say I have no idea.
I was going to take the safe answer too.
Oh no, I don't think that's a safe answer. I just don't think that's an idea. I'm pretty sure people know, because I think people think, number one, if you're a Christian and if you happen to be a pastor, God help you, that you're supposed to have that answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, really? Like, why? Why do you have to have that answer? Like, that's not it. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. See, this is the deal. You still have to live in faith.
I know.
That's the thing. God pushes everybody to the end. I've been around a little bit longer than you guys, not much, but I've known people that have thought God was coming back that year 10 times in my lifetime.
Then they just change it to the next year, like you said before.
Right. But the worst thing is to believe that he's not.
Yeah.
I think that's the danger.
Things are going on just as they always have been.
Yeah, let's just settle on our Lees or Lee jeans or whatever that is. And just, and just be okay with everything is going to remain the same.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous place.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, that's a place that I think that doesn't please God in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I think he looks at that and he's like, really?
Yeah. No way. I mean, I think every Christian period of time that people have lived with that expectation that he could come as a thief and that, mm-hmm. you know, at any point Jesus can return. I think that's healthy. But we should also realize that we could also be like every other period of Christians that have lived,
mm-hmm.
and we're leaving a legacy. We are building, we are sowing, we are investing. We're not just like living on a mountain and, you know, selling everything to timeshares or whatever and just trying to be like, well, any minute he's gonna appear up there. Mm-hmm. Right. Why aren't we about the business of the kingdom? That we're occupying doing business, mm-hmm. till he comes. I think that's a key, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we live with the fear of the Lord and the presentness of he could come at any time,
mm-hmm.
but also we sow generationally and we build generationally, because until he shows up, we don't know.
Yeah.
I also think that I don't really understand the mentality of like, I'm just going to live how I want because he's not coming anytime soon, because eventually you're going to meet him.
Yeah.
So whether him coming here or you going there, to me, what difference does that make? No. Like you're still going to give an account for your life. So I guess I just don't understand that. I don't live in fear of Jesus returning, but I am living with a fear of the Lord that I'm going to stand in front of him and give an account for the way that I've lived and the things that I've done and what I've done with what he's given me. So that's actually the thing that we were talking about this at our core team meeting, that it's not necessarily like the knowledge of eschatology that determines the way you live. It's your personal revelation of Jesus Christ for your life. That should be the driving, motivating factor, I think.
But I also would like to go on record and try to answer part of your question. And you asked, do I believe that we're in that last time?
Yeah.
And there's some obvious signs that have started to occur that look like it, like signs that haven't happened since we were told they were supposed to happen. And one of those signs was I believe Israel coming back together. Like, that just hasn't been. Mm. And like, just the natural Israel forming. I mean, ever since it was prophesied, they hadn't really been, even when they were a country, they were not their own. They were owned.
Yeah.
And so, and then just scattered. And now all of a sudden, well, all of a sudden for some people, you know, 50 some odd, 60, 80 years ago, you know, 1948, all of a sudden they are a country again, and people are drawing there. And all of a sudden we're seeing, like, they're the epicenter of what's going on in our world. Like, there's lots of interesting things focusing in on them.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of people riled up about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you start looking at it, you go, well, that never happened before. Like that. And that was a promise that would happen. And now it's happened. And so what does that mean? Are we one tick closer? Or it seems like it. It seems like in those days, that's what's supposed to start happening.
Right.
Some level.
There's the other side of it too. I mean, that's a pessimistic side almost, but not really.
Yeah.
But just like all those wars coming against Israel, but also the spread of the gospel. The gospel's never spread farther than it has today.
Right.
And to me, that's the real clock on it, that it's like, hey, pretty soon, I believe the gospel is going to become the strongest influence in every nation. Wow. You know, but I actually also believe there will remain rebellion and there will remain trials and all the signs of the end times. But I also believe in a triumph of the gospel, and I believe in a purification of the bride. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that. I think there's recovery of a lot of truth. So, I mean, there's nothing that you could go out and say, like, I know 100% that these are signs that it's going to happen soon. But there are, you know, there's reasons to look and say, like, hey, maybe the tree is ripening a little bit out there. In a lot of ways.
Yeah. So. I think what you just said for me is the bride, because he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And I don't see that right now.
That's probably
anyway.
The biggest delay.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But I also know that we think that things will continue on the same pace that they're going now. And there are circumstances that can escalate and accelerate things. Mm-hmm. Very quickly. Like, things can change very quickly in the world, and then all of a sudden everything is shifted into a completely different space, including the purification of the church, because when persecution starts to happen, the church gets purified very quickly in a lot of ways. You know, so I just think it can be a little foolish, I think, to try to like pace out, like, well, this happened, but then, you know, like, everything can change very quickly.
I totally agree with that. And I think it a lot has to do with the way God operates. And traditionally, what we've seen biblically, scripturally, is the suddenly of God. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, with everything, you know, stacked against him or against what, you know, his truth, mm-hmm. and boom, all of a sudden, God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how did that happen? Like that. And so some of those stories, and I say stories, I use that strategically, because some people read the Bible stories like stories. Like, they're not stories, they're actual truth.
Histories.
Yeah, history. Like, when we read that, the historical account of what happened, it was suddenly on so many levels.
That's
and
good.
You're like, how did that happen?
Right.
Like, nothing added up at the time.
Exactly.
To that. Mm-hmm. And then it happened. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe this. I'm not one of these people who believe like just instantly it's going to happen, mm-hmm. but everything is fulfilled, because I think some of those things have some time mm-hmm. lapse that go with them, mm-hmm. but there's a suddenly involved. Mm-hmm. And then what?
Right.
Yeah. You see that. I mean, in Revelation, you see the acceleration of the judgments, mm-hmm. and they're designed to bring about repentance where it wasn't before. God can intervene. God can wake people up. Mm-hmm. Our witness, the brighter it gets, is going to, I think, kindle a backlash of persecution.
Yes.
You see that in Revelation. Like Liz said, that purifies. So yeah, the dominoes can start to fall real quick. Mm-hmm. There's also things that can come in to really delay.
Yep.
You know, there could be false teaching that comes in the bride.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That could really delay stuff. Mm-hmm. There could be coldness. Pastor Bob already went into that. I think this is all things that happen in the latter days. It's not this straight shot.
Right.
It's a walk with God, and there's mm-hmm. wilderness times, and there's accelerations, and there's driftings, and you know, the Lord's going to see us through it. He's going to accomplish it. But yeah, to try to make a nice chart and a nice calendar and oh, I got my system now. Mm-hmm. To me, I've studied the end times from every system. I think I've done every single one now. I've done, you know, I could list them all, but, mm-hmm. and they all have great biblical support to offer to kind of flesh out your worldview. But if you try to force the Bible or even your Christian experience into one of these systems, right. there's going to be wonky lopsides in at least a few spots. The best system you can find is still going to have some stuff it doesn't account for. Yeah. So without walking with God and being willing to, mm-hmm. to see ups and downs and not, oh, how come my system isn't working here?
Yeah.
I'm not putting my hope in a system. I'm putting my hope in God being sovereign over history and revealing his son.
Yeah. That's really good.
Wow. Yeah. I think history is better told after it happens and more accurately told after it happens. Because every time mm-hmm. someone tries to predict everything that's going to happen, it never seems to happen like that.
Yeah.
But then we look back and when we actually read about history, we're reading about things that happened already. Right. And then we go, yeah. oh, and in all of that, you're sitting there scratching your head going, how did that happen?
Unless you're reading something that the guy killed the hero and then right. said he was the hero.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I just think of like, you know, yeah. During Moses' time and, you know, and here's his God's people in, you know, steeped in deep bondage. Mm. Like there's no reason for them to be let go.
No,
there's no really, you know, yeah. I mean, there's not. And then God,
right.
like then God does his yeah. thing. And by the way, there was resistance mm-hmm. to God's things all along the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, even hard things. And that's why I always pull that in with like talking about eschatology and, you know, in those last, in the end times, I mean, all sorts of hell rains down on people on the earth mm-hmm. and people are still like shaking their fist against God and going, no, I won't, mm-hmm. I won't accept you. Mm-hmm. Or they understand, they know he's God, but they just won't have him. And I'm like, it's mind boggling. You're like, how does that happen?
But then you yeah. see it happen in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I was going to say, David, I think that you're so right that in anything, there's so many gaps in the word.
Yeah.
And I've like asked the Lord, like, why don't you just make things clear? Like, there's so many arguments that happen about this doctrine or that doctrine or this thing or that thing. I'm like, why didn't you just make it clear? Like, that would have been so much easier. If you wanted us to follow you, why didn't you make it really just lay it out like a manual, you know?
Blueprint.
Yeah. But I don't know all the answers to that. But I do know that part of it was because we have to live reliant on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually the one that Jesus said would guide us into all right. truth. And that, you know, if he lays everything out, like in this year, this is going to happen, this year, this is going to happen. We then would try to take control, which is what people do when they're building systems of, yep. I have all this figured out. And so now I can figure out how I'm going to order my life. Mm-hmm. And that's not how he wants us to live. It's not how we're designed to live. He wants us. Great he's point. Designed us to live dependent on the Holy Spirit. And I think that that's really the key. And I think that if we keep that in mind, we can stay out of some of the gaps of trying to fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. I think that's where people fall into error when they're trying to fill yeah. in gaps. And yeah. we just have to realize some of these things are mysteries, but what we do have is we have the Spirit of truth mm-hmm. leading us and guiding us every day if we want it.
Yeah.
Well, they're intentional mysteries because
yeah. cryptic. Yeah.
If they weren't there, you wouldn't need any faith.
Exactly.
You know,
or the Spirit.
Or the Spirit of God. You wouldn't need anything.
Or
perseverance. Yes. You wouldn't need any perseverance.
We could do this without God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, because you just run out the clock. Oh, cool. This is hard, but only 3.5 more years.
Right.
I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody, but I mean, that's why it's in symbols. It says he signified the vision through his angel. That's the word semeion, right? It's like he's giving these signs. They're pictures. And so Revelation, it's laid out. And so is some of the prophetic literature like Zechariah and Daniel. They're laid out in a logical order, but it's not chronological.
Right.
It's not for you to measure everything and run out the clock. That's just not what these symbols are about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to make that statement. It's going to mm-hmm. probably offend some people, ruin someone's chart out there. I used to have the charts. I probably could dig them up somewhere. I think there's a lot of value you can get from trying to map it out. Maybe you can get pretty close. But God's trying to just show you his son. He's trying to show you that he's returning. Mm-hmm. There's going to be judgments. There's going to be repentance. Mm-hmm. There's going to be progress of the gospel. He's not trying to tell you exactly every little detail.
Right.
Maybe, by the way, he's working with you and with a very complex system to bring this all about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not a blueprint that everyone's going to just do as a puppet, everything that God just told them to do. Maybe he has to govern over free agents mm-hmm. and bring kings to heal
right.
and bring empires to his feet. And maybe he can't just tell you every single detail in advance mm-hmm. of how that's going to happen.
I like your chart thing.
I know. It's you much know, easier when it's just a chart.
I'm sure there were people in the past, like when Jesus showed up, that had their charts and their understanding. And they and Jesus is like, yeah, there's mm-hmm. a little problem with this one here. You know, and they're like, what do you mean? Destroy this temple. What do you mean? And, you know, and, like, and see, it didn't happen. The temple's still here in 3 days. And it's like, you missed a little bit along the way here. And right. Now, by the way, 70 years later, it's completely gone. Mm. And now what?
Mind-blowing, yeah.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, mm-hmm. right? And yet it would require, like I said earlier, no faith. You just got it all. Right. But I think there'll be people pretty disappointed because, like you said, they'll pull out their chart or their understanding of exactly how yeah. every prophecy is supposed to be fulfilled and mm-hmm. be totally disappointed because they think in their understanding of that is the thing that's going to walk them through it mm-hmm. instead of the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. instead of his truth, and instead of faith mm-hmm. in him.
Yeah.
Like those are the things that will walk you through it, right. not just knowing.
Right.
Writing it on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
John's audience for the book of Revelation was steeped in the Old Testament. The unlocking of every symbol he uses is from the Old Testament. They're like, hey, we've been in the scriptures. We've been wrestling with it. It made more sense to them that first heard it than it makes to us 2,000 years later. We got to do a lot of work to figure it out. But really, when you're actually interacting with the Spirit, with the Word, he's building you. He's building your endurance. He's building your hope. He's building your love of Jesus, your awe of his government. And you go, okay, like with this, I can walk through anything. It's not like, oh, cool, I've got the, you know, the schedule. Now I can walk through it. When we're at summer camp, there's always, you know, one kid that's always like, what's happening next? I don't have a schedule. I don't, you know, and they're just like stressing out.
The know? Timeline.
And is I so definitely funny. Like identify with that kid. I want to know the schedule. But,
didn't you think
you know.
That was David? When he was saying that, I thought that was David immediately. Yeah.
But then if I have a schedule, I know when my downtime is. I can rest. I don't have any urgency.
Right.
That's great.
Kind of ranting on that. Okay, so how can we prepare for the end times? What are things that are the most important things we need to do to prepare for these last days and for the end times? What do you think? Throw something out here.
I think storing up a lot of shrimp Creole oh. would probably be a good start. Just if you like that.
Yeah, why not?
Plant an orchard.
Well, why not?
It's an important thing. You can do those things. You kind of be one of them prepper people, you know?
A tank.
And a tank would work. Awesome. As long as you're not the guy on the top of the tank, you're inside, you know, because yeah, on top that guy gets hurt. Yeah. But how do you prep for the end times? Mm-hmm. Wow. You guys are looking at me like, oh, what's he going to say? I believe our entire Christian walk is a prep for the end times.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you do, everything you say, everything you apply your heart to is actually is going toward, well, your personal end time,
mm-hmm.
but also the
that's a great way
global,
of saying
the global end time.
Yeah.
your personal end time, yes.
Are you in your personal end times or
yes,
last days?
I've been in my personal end times.
Apocalypse
That's
now.
Rough.
Apocalypse. It's Bob Apocalypse. Oh,
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Bob.
Bobalypse.
Oh, Pastor Bobalypse. That's a better name for me, don't you think?
I like that phrase, though, because, I mean, what about this? Like, I'm sorry to get serious again, but, like, what if you're, like, on your deathbed? What if you get a terminal diagnosis? Yeah, pray yes. for God's healing. But also, like, are you prepared to go through that?
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared to say, like, I've got 3 years left. I got 3 months left. I got, you know, what am I doing? You know, like, are we prepared for that? I mean, we should live every minute like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know yeah. I don't, but I mean, that's a great point to make.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, preparing for your personal end times, it should be similar to.
She lost her on this
the
one.
The eschatological day of the Lord.
Well, I think the question is going to be from the main guy at the end is like, what did you do with what I gave you to do and the time I gave you to do it? that's what got, that's a question we will have to answer to. And that's the probably the scariest question. I'm like, God, really? That's a lot. That's, you know,
I'm hearing Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
When the man comes around.
Yes.
Such a good song.
Yeah. But you know, because I know that we all know that there were times when we either squandered up, you know, our time or our opportunities.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, and so it should bring a repentance in our souls. I think that's probably what how you prepare for the end times is you repent.
That's good.
And just begin to walk from this moment to your end time. Yeah. And then whatever that is, I'm kind of hoping to see Jesus come back personally. I'd like to, I'm not really that concerned about like the, you know, the end times, you know, the wars and the, all that's it. That doesn't bother me as much. Like, I mean, I don't like to see that kind of suffering on somebody's, but I'm not like afraid of that. I'm personally, I've just never been like, well, we'll go through it. Oh, well, you know, it's part of what he said. So, okay. But I think if you go, if you're, I don't know, I think you could pull back in fear, you know? And I just, that, that part is, you know, or let me put it this way, pull back in unbelief. Right, because the unbelief there is not that you're not believing the end times is there. You're not believing that God's going to keep you and that you're being led during those times.
Right.
That's where the unbelief, you know, situation is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Liz,
do you have any thoughts on preparation? Preppers?
Yeah.
Any prepper thoughts?
I do. Three things. Store up the word. Dig the well of the word in your life. Learn to be at home in the secret place, because if we do go through that time, you will need to know how to be hidden, to be in the cleft of the rock. And then the third thing I would say is learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. I think those are practice that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Put it into practice.
Absolutely.
Those are three things that I would.
Yeah, ironically, I mean, I think those are great. Maybe counterintuitively, you know, you read Revelation and you see people worshiping the whole time. You know, and I think that's probably the best way you, that I could prepare is to cultivate more of a heart of worship and to understand behind the or above the earthly governments and the satanic governments is the throne above the sea, you know, surrounded by the elders, and to be so caught up in worshiping him.
Yeah.
That you say, yeah, come, Lord Jesus. Look, you're shattering the earthly order, and it's very uncomfortable. But I know that you're bringing your kingdom to the earth, and I know that that's what I want. I want to see this happen, right? And so, I think that's a big mindset shift. That, you know, even if everything I cared about is taken away, I still have everything because God's my everything. You know, I live for Him completely. And a person that has that heart, which I'm trying to cultivate, listening to the Holy Spirit. Not there yet. You know, a person that has that heart would say, yeah, come, your judgments are righteous and true, and everything that they say in Revelation. And that type of person's a great witness too.
I'm going to press on Pastor Liz, because I feel like from Holy Spirit that like there's someone needs to know like what this looks like when you say finding yourself in the secret place of the Most High. What does that look like to somebody out there that doesn't like hears those words but goes, huh?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can assume that we all know what that means. What does that mean to you?
I would say, and it's hard to adequately for me, like if I had more time to think about it, I'd probably express it a little bit better.
I can give you a little more time.
I believe there is a practicing of being in the presence of a Lord, in an intimate place with him where you step into... You step into eternity with him. You step into where he rules. You step into his presence, his place, and you commune with him there. And I believe it's the abiding. It's the practice of abiding with him. And I believe that it happens on a few different levels. Obviously, you know, you can do this like just personally with in your private time with the Lord in your home and your, you know, room or wherever that is. And you practice it there, But there's also an aspect of walking in life in the secret place with the Lord.
I love that you said that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a little more time here because I want you to expound on that. Because when you first started speaking about it, I'm getting in my soul, like there's people hearing that's some ethereal place, some spiritually spooky, weird, you know.
Closet.
Yeah, closet. And you know, some of that is pretty different than what we're used to, you know, in our natural life. But so much of it is in our natural life.
Yes. So absolutely. You know. There.
Okay. I'm throwing the ball back to you. But yeah. Put you on the spot. You were the one that brought up the secret place.
Yes. I would say that there are there's a way of walking in life where you understand that you have brought yourself under the hand of the Lord and that you are kept there. And that you, even though you may be walking through very difficult things or maybe very just ordinary things, you know that I think about like Psalm 90, like dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a place that you, and you have to bring yourself there. You bring yourself under the covering of the Lord, under the authority of the Lord, into a communing place with him, into, it's a very yielded, vulnerable, trusting of his sovereignty. And there's a place that you can walk in that in your life. You're going through things, but you are completely aware at the same time that your life is under the covering of the Lord and your life is hidden in him. And that however things happen, you know that you're in his hand. You're in this secret place of communion with him. And there is a trust that happens. There's the peace that passes all understanding. There's even joy that can happen there in the middle of very difficult things because you're abiding in his presence, even as you're walking through hard things, ordinary things, mundane things, just things of the world. You live somewhere that's kept.
That's so good. I love that in that scripture, you know, he that dwells in the secret place. And I always, that word always gets me. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Just the dwelling, it's there. You're living there. You're like there.
Is that the tabernacle word?
Yeah, it's, yes, okay. The dwelling. And so there's a residing, like staying in that place.
Yeah.
And you learn, I think you learn that place. You learn how to stay there is, I guess, what you're saying. Because I think it's easy for people to, like, pop in and out, right? Because then it fits in your schedule. But when you have to go into the holiest of holy place with your Father and then come out with him, you know, it's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. It's a different place, actually. And so how that looks for people, and there's a staying there.
Yeah.
That it's not... And it's not just a spot, it's him.
Right.
And so I think we, like I said earlier, when you mentioned it, I could just imagine someone out there going, oh yeah, that's like, I need to find my room, my spot. And that's okay if you start there. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's probably a good way to start developing it though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You can focus it there.
You start.
Because, you know, then you can get to the point where you're Paul and Silas and the stocks singing the Lord shaking that
well,
jail.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole, I mean, if we are going to be ones who walk through the tribulation and persecution at that level, it is, you know, when it talks about, as in the days of Noah, like that is the ark. Mm-hmm. The ark is that place. It's the secret place with God. Mm-hmm. It is the cleft of the rock, is being able to go into him. He's the refuge, you know? So it's like, it's going to be people who have learned that. And when that comes, it's not the time to start learning it. No. You know, it's like, this is something that we have developed. And I believe we get glimpses of it now when we go through tribulation now. You know, tribulation is not something that's just for future. No. We go through tribulation now, and some people in very, very extreme ways. Yes. And so it's something that we can develop, and we should develop now, because that is the key to getting through any tribulation.
Yeah.
Is being able to abide there.
There's plenty of people, like you said, in the persecuted church or even in a horrible spot in their life that you said, well, wait till it gets really bad in the Great Tribulation. Yeah. They'd say, well, it's pretty bad right now. And I believe Jesus spoke of it as birth pangs, like contractions leading all the way to the end of the age. Mm-hmm. And so I believe there's been many tribulations, and yeah, there will be a final one.
Yeah.
But that's so good. Whatever tools would apply to the final one are going to apply to the contractions when you're, you know.
Yeah. Well, we forget that, you know, you mentioned about like Noah in the ark. I mean, life was going on in the ark for his entire time in there. And it had to have been really strange since they, you know, who knew what was going on outside completely. And, you know, and just stuff. They're in the thing. They're in the tribulation, if you will. And yet they're still in life. They're still having to, you know, live inside that ark and eat and have life. And they were in the secret place with him in the middle of it.
Right.
Not just poofed out of it. And that's why, you know, and I know how we believe that, you know, that in the days of, so in the days of Noah, it'd be just as, you know, the coming of the Lord. It's just that, you know, people were given in marriage and stuff, but then God, he didn't yank Noah out of the world. It's actually, he was still in the world. Everybody else got drowned in this world. Mm-hmm. And so I just, to me, there's a place of residing, of dwelling with him in life, in hard life, and in great life. Because that's the other side of that. I think sometimes we, when things are really good, you can lose sight of him. Sure. Like, you don't need him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best way to escape persecution and tribulation is to compromise and to go lukewarm and just check out and just be a Christian in name only. And if you do that in a lot of situations, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble, but you won't be increasing in Christ likeness. You won't be overcoming anything. It's not what we're called to. There's not really a reward there. There's nothing eternal attached to that. I think that's really important that if we're moving forward and we're, it's not this passive approach. Like, yeah, in the ark, they were passive. They were kind of coasting through it. But before that they weren't, they were warning. Noah was warning people for 120 years and people were spitting on them, whatever else people were doing. So I think our witness in the end times is going to inspire that kind of a response. And just, are we preparing for it? Are we experiencing the micro persecutions of being rejected for Christ on a daily level? You know, are we willing to risk things for him? All that is going to build us so that we do overcome no matter what the enemy.
I think in the ark also they were worshiping, and I think they were encouraging each other and giving the testimony of the Lord and life just right in the middle of it. And I believe in the end times, the same things. That's why I believe in Revelation, so much of it is about worship.
Yeah.
Because I believe it's worshiping in the middle of it, in it.
And the worship and prayers through the fire on the earth.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. Yeah. It's even linked to the judgment of God on the fallen system. But, do we have any final thoughts here? Any end thoughts?
Well, I hope this podcast gets out before.
I hope he comes back before this gets out.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast, then you are actually in the tribulation. We told you so.
Yeah, somebody maybe is tuning into this in the Great Tribulation.
You're right, in the
stay strong.
You can do it.
Do you have any last prayer or any last word for anybody that's listening? Yeah. Takeaway?
No, he took them away. No.
I don't know. I don't know what my thoughts are here at the end. At the end.
Oh, man. Oh, well, I have
this is our end time.
I have a prayer. Right, Lord, we just commit people who are listening to this, Lord, and people who will, Father, that we commit them into your hands, and we pray, oh God, that you would strengthen them in their times. Do you draw them close to you, Father, into your heart, to your secret place, God, that place would be a place of reality of you. So just anoint, oh God, anoint our ears, our eyes to hear you and see you, God. Anoint our hearts, oh God, that we would be courageous, Father, and walk in faith with you, oh God. We just thank you, God, and thank you for helping us, Father. And Father, if anyone's going through any kind of tribulation, in their own personal life now. I pray, oh God, that you would just send the oil of heaven onto their life and anoint them, God. Strengthen them. Bring healing and peace. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, and I just, one last thing on this is, as we pray into that and as you endure tribulation, remember it's not about the tribulation. It yields new life.
Yes.
Jesus is being revealed. Mm-hmm. He'll be revealed in your trial, through your trial, and at the end of your trial, he'll be revealed with new life.
Yes.
And restoration. And so keep going. Persevere.
Amen.
Here's a call for faithfulness of the saints. So we'll keep going with you, and we'll see you next time.
Amen.